Good morning and welcome to Local Matters here on News Talk 94.1. I'm Michael Detweiler, and today my guest in studio is Pastor Houston Jared.
Amen.
Pastor Jared is leading the PG Fellowship out in the beautiful area west of Baxter called Pleasant Grove. It would be in
Buffalo Valley.
Mm-hmm. I was going to call it Gentry. I guess that.
Well, it's unincorporated Gentry.
But so yeah, there is. So there you go. It's what, maybe a mile and a half past Kohl's General Store, right?
Yep.
And neat thing about the church, and we'll get into this later, is they've met at that property for many, many years. I think most of you will really be surprised how many years. But Pastor Houston Jared has a great story, and I'm just excited for him to be able to share it with you all today. So welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, thank you so much, Michael. It's an honor to be here, and I appreciate you having us on.
Absolutely.
And forgive me for my voice. Like we was talking about earlier, I think the pollen count's 1,500.
It is.
I've got a little drainage going here, but thank God for the sunlight.
Absolutely. And listen, you've got a deep voice. That's great for radio, so it's not going to be a problem at all.
Amen.
So tell us about your background. You born, raised where?
So all my family on both sides, my mother and my father, they're all from that area of West Putnam County.
Interesting.
My dad graduated in 1959 at the Baxter Seminary.
How about that?
Yeah, and that was the last year that it was a seminary before it turned over to actually Upperman High School.
Okay.
So he graduated on a Friday. That Monday, he joined United States Air Force.
Wow. Yeah.
And I asked him after I found that information out. I said, Dad, I said, what was the deal there? You just graduate on a Friday and then join the military that following Monday? And his response was, I never knew exactly what I was going to do in life, but I knew I wasn't going to be a tobacco farmer.
There you go. He knew for sure,
yeah,
right?
He knew what he wasn't going to do. So, and that's what landed us in Little Rock, Arkansas. So I was actually born out there, the Air Force, Jacksonville Air Force Base in Little Rock.
So y'all bounced around place to place?
No, actually, after he got out of the military, he went to work for the railroad.
Okay.
And so he was stable there, and it was a great job. But just as soon as I graduated high school, I came back to
this area.
To this area.
Okay.
This was my roots.
So you grew up in Little Rock, went to elementary and junior high and high school, got out, said, I'm coming back to Putnam County, Tennessee.
Right. Well, you said earlier that, you know, my story is interesting. Back then you had school. You was out of school for 3 months in the summertime, and you got 2 weeks at Christmas and spring break. And so we spent a lot of time up here anyway. Thoroughly enjoyed being up here on the farm, and thoroughly enjoyed the, you know, right by Center Hill Lake. And so I always knew when I graduated high school I wanted to.
This is where I wanted to be. Assuming married and kids, tell us about them.
I am. I'm married to a wonderful lady, Dr. Lana Jared, which I tell people all the time that God loves you, but I think I'm his favorite.
There you go. Because you outkicked your coverage.
I outkicked my coverage.
With your spouse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder sometimes how that happened. So there must be a God, and he shined on me on that. Amen. She's given me two beautiful children, Grace Margaret Jarrett. She's 5 years old, just turned five, and little Timothy Huddleston Jarrett, and he's two.
See, it's hard to believe he's two, because I remember when your wife was pregnant with him, and that just seems like it was yesterday, you know?
Absolutely.
He's 2 years old.
Yeah, going on 15.
I hear you. Going on 15. So tell us about, and I think people will be interested in hearing this, because I think we all go through certain life challenges that shape us for the future.
Amen.
And so tell us about some of the life challenges that you've faced.
Right. You know, living in Little Rock, Arkansas, growing up in a home, my mother and father was both there. My mother, she dragged me to church as often as she could get me to go.
Mm-hmm.
My dad actually was involved. His job allowed him to with the seniority numbers that he had, he had some side businesses. One of them was a part owner of a bar. And I was wanting to bond, you know, with my dad.
Sure.
And so I spent a lot of time in that bar. Mm-hmm. And some of the challenges that I faced later on in my adulthood were a direct result of that.
Sure.
My dad, he done the best he could. He thought that, you know, being my friend was easier than being a father.
Yes.
And for a long time I resented that as an adult. Mm-hmm. But the great news is, all things work for the good.
Yeah,
and that's what the Word of God says. And I ended up, becoming an alcoholic behind that. Mm-hmm. For many years, I struggled with addiction in so many different forms. You know, people want to talk about life-controlling issues.
Sure.
And they narrow it down immediately when you hear that word. It's alcohol or drugs.
Right.
But I had so many life-controlling issues, and that was just part of them. My idea of what a woman was, because of growing up in that environment, was someone who brought you your drink.
Yeah.
And as long as you tipped them a dollar, you could make derogatory remarks towards them.
Right.
Things of that nature. Friendship was, high-fiving your buddy while doing shots or drinking beers and gambling and things.
Right.
So I had so many different life-controlling issues, and it was shaping me in for a long path of destruction, to be honest with you, Michael.
So, if you're just joining us, Pastor Houston Jared of PG Fellowship is my guest today. So as you kind of spiraled down this path, did it, you leave Little Rock, you come back to Tennessee, do those life-controlling issues follow you here?
Absolutely. So, people have a tendency, I had a tendency to think that the problem was in Little Rock.
Sure. And want to run from it.
Yeah, so if I can change a geographical location, then all will be fixed.
Everything's fixed, right.
But, of course, it wasn't. I just, when I got up here.
You sought out the same things.
Right. Well, because I had roots here, I already pretty well had the connections for what I needed at that time. And I wasn't a full-blown, drug addict or drug dealer or an alcoholic at that time. But, sin is progressive.
Yes, sir.
And the enemy can be real patient. And what I thought was a good time down at the lake or down at the creek or fishing or hunting, the good old boy syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
That crept up on me before I knew it. It went from recreational to everyday use to life controlling.
Mm.
And that's the process usually. But, when I was in elementary school or junior high down in Little Rock on career day, and they asked, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? I didn't raise my hand and say, well, when I grow up, I think I want to be an alcoholic or a drug addict.
Right.
It's progressive. Sin's progressive.
Sure it is.
And for the listeners out there listening today, I hope they understand that, we want to put labels on alcoholism or drug addiction, and we want to call it a disease. If you want to put a label on it, let's just call it what it is, and it's sin.
Yes, sir.
And my flesh loved the sin.
Yes.
And that was my comfortable sin.
Right.
So I always went back to it.
So did your addiction, did it lead to, life situations like being jailed?
Absolutely.
And things like that?
Absolutely. So I seen the opportunity to be living in Putnam County. But with Little Rock, Arkansas, the connections that I had made down there growing up, it was kind of a central hub, a distribution place from you can take Mexico and drive it right up to Dallas to Little Rock. And from Little Rock, you can go directly north to St. Louis, west to Oklahoma City, east to Memphis, Nashville, up that way. So I got involved in the transportation and the delivery of drugs to support my habit.
Sure.
Not just that, but to support this, big void that I had on the inside of me, Michael, that I was trying to fill with substance, toxic relationships, alcohol, money, prestige, all these, pseudo-official.
You thought
answers.
You'd be important if you had enough money to do.
Right.
And you were willing to do that sort of thing in order to get that quote-unquote prestige.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. What I was doing was trying to find my identity in other people's opinion of me and how well I could perform at something.
Wow.
And that's just a false formula.
So this will lead over into our second segment, but what what led you out of that life of addiction, incarceration, that vicious cycle of dealing and everything else?
There was numerous times that I tried to do it on my own.
Sure.
Whether it was through, you know, I'm not going to go to jail anymore, or I'm going to go to this rehab, this 30-day, 60-day instant fix. And that's what we want. You know, you're jumping through hoops usually for the legal system, the probation officer, loved ones. You're trying to, you know, save face in those situations. But at the end of the day, there was no 12-step program, and I'm not knocking 12-step programs.
Of course.
You know, I don't want you to think that at all, because there's a value to those as well. But for me, there was no program, there was no counseling sessions, things of that nature that could really sustain me for a long period of time. So I'd go back to my lifestyle of destruction. I was in a jail cell in Putnam County. I'd already done a little over 10 years behind bars.
Wow. And you're how old at this point?
At this point, I'm 35, 34, wow. 35.
And did 10 years.
Yeah. I've done a 10-year sentence in Little Rock, and then another 4-year sentence, and another 6-year sentence. And with the good time calculated on that, a little over 10 years behind bars.
Behind bars.
Day for day, yeah. And I give the glory to God. For
Amen.
Let me give the glory
Amen.
To God. Amen.
Amen. So when we come back in segment number 2, you're going to hear more about what led Houston Jared out of a life of addiction and incarceration. You are listening to Local Matters here on News Talk 94.1.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Good morning and welcome back to News Talk 94.1. This is Local Matters. I'm Michael Detweiler. Today my guest is Houston Jared. He is the pastor at PG Fellowship out in western Putnam County. They call that officially the Buffalo Valley area. They're on Highway 70. And when we went to the break, we were talking about his personal life challenges, his spending nearly 10 years in jail for life controlling issues, dealing in drugs.
Yes.
And so he was getting ready to tell us about what led him out of it and how he got set free from this.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I was violated on an 8-year probation sentence for failing another drug test. It's, you know, that was just that never-ending cycle that you talked about. You get in the system, you can't pass a drug test, you get violated, you go to jail. And I'd had enough. My mother's health at the time was getting bad. I'd been in jail for about 2 months, going to court and things of that nature. And I had started sobering up, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. Sure. And I haven't dealt with true feelings at that point in years. God started really allowing the Holy Spirit to poke and prod and kind of show some things to me in a light that, you know, your parents aren't going to be here forever. Here I am, this macho man trying to walk out this image of what I was thinking I was and what I was trying to live up to be. And inside I was just a scared little boy who didn't want their mother and dad to leave them.
Sure.
So I wrote a letter to Adult and Teen Challenge of the Upper Cumberland. Of course, it's the women's center we have out here in Livingston,
yes.
Overton County. But Pastor Tim McLaughlin, he also placed men into the male centers of Teen Challenge. So I wasn't sold out. I wasn't saved. I was just looking for another way to beat the system. But there was some
to get out and kind of stay out for a while.
And there was some raw emotion involved because, like I said, I didn't have nothing, no kind of chemicals or anything like that to suppress my feelings. And so there was some – God was doing some things. And it's funny how God can get you in a small, still place.
Yes.
And then he can start working on you fundamentally through your heart. And that's what happened. So I wrote Pastor Tim, and I just asked him to come see me.
This was while you were in the Putnam County Jail. Okay.
So he came and saw me, and me being the arrogant, pompous person that I was at the time, I came bebopping down to the room to meet him and looked at him, and he said, you know, I'm Pastor Tim McLaughlin with Teen Challenge. I want to interview you for possible placement. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him like I'm looking at you right now, brother. And I said, listen, I have the money.
Yes.
And he said, well, there is a little bit of cost involved, but have a seat and let's talk. And I said, no, preacher, you don't understand. I got the money, and it's about the money, right? Mm-hmm. And, man, thank God that Pastor Tim, you know, he's unlike some programs that would have jumped all over that. He said, well, let me tell you something, brother. He said, I love you, and God loves you. He said, but you're not ready to receive that love.
Yeah.
And he told the jailer there at Booking, he said, you can get this guy back to his cell.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? You're not going to take the money, you know? And because I've always tried to manipulate, and, you know, call a favor.
Manipulate your way in.
Absolutely.
Right.
I might not even have the money. I was telling him that, though.
Because you figured, hey, I'll figure out a way to get it.
Absolutely.
Right?
But so he actually told me some hard truth about myself. So now there was no way out. I was going to go back to jail for 8 more years. Mm-hmm. And I was at a broken place. You know, the psalmist says that God desires a broken and contrite spirit.
Mm.
I went back to my cell, and I was mad at the preacher. Sure. I was mad at Teen Challenge. I was mad at the system.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, I couldn't blame no one but myself.
I understand.
So after staying mad for a couple weeks or whatever, they had a jail ministry that came in on Sundays, and my attitude towards that was, you know, I didn't need God on the outside. I don't need him on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit dealt with me. So I pulled one of the preachers, Brother Paul Spott. You may know Paul Spott.
I know of him.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's a great man of God. And I asked him a few questions about Teen Challenge and why, if God loves me so much, would he not allow me to go to this program? Because I won't be in prison when my mother dies. That's mm-hmm. That was the reality that I had. And Paul told me, he said, I want you to write Pastor Tim back.
Mm-hmm.
And after you write him back, just tear that letter up and pray. And he said, I want you to do that 3 times.
Wow.
This is a true story.
Wow.
I can't make this up.
This is awesome.
And I was like, why would I do that? So each time the letter was a little less of me and more about change. Mm-hmm. And the 3rd time I mailed the letter and I started reading my Bible. And I didn't know how to read the Bible. Again, I didn't have any upbringing or no, church housing or however you want to call that. So I started at Genesis, you know, page 1. And I was going to read it all the way to maps.
I hear
just
you.
Like a, yeah. Some of y'all catch that.
You're all right. Some of y'all get that in a minute.
But it was Daniel chapter 9. And it's a long way from Genesis 1 to Daniel 9.
It is. Wow.
And it said, Daniel, he cried out to God and he said, we've rebelled against you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our own wickedness.
Yes.
But would you find forgiveness in your heart for your people?
Amen.
And man, the Holy Spirit spoke to me just like that. He said, this is you.
Yes.
It's not your dad's fault.
Right.
It's not the system's fault. It's your own wickedness and your own rebellion, Houston. And I'd like to say that I had this, you know, altar call moment when I gave my life to Jesus, but it was in a jail cell in Putnam County that I said, Lord, will you forgive me and come into my life?
Hmm.
And as soon as I said that, I felt the love of God embrace my life.
Hmm.
And he started working on me.
Sure.
He started working on me. And at the same time, you know, God's a God of really strategic moves. At the same time, he was working on the heart of Pastor Tim McLaughlin.
Sure.
And my attorney at the time was Sean Fry.
Okay.
And so Pastor Tim got that letter that I wrote him, the second letter that I tore up 3 times. And he called Sean, and Sean said, they just won't sentence him. I don't know why they won't sentence him. They're not letting him go to any programs. He said, but go up there and see him again. So he came up there to see me again. And I thank God for Pastor Tim McLaughlin. I thank God for the ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge of the Upper Cumberland. That man is a visionary.
Amen.
He saw something the second time that he came to see me, and it was a new man.
Mm-hmm.
I apologized to him immediately and asked him if you could help me. I'd greatly appreciate it.
Amen.
And,
so you were broken. You weren't the arrogant Houston. You were the broken Jared.
Right,
just said,
right.
Hey,
absolutely.
I apologize for how I treated you the first time. And
so what changed?
Yeah.
I gave my life to the
you
Lord.
Did.
Yeah.
You had a heart change.
Yep. That's
from
exactly
from the inside.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Amen.
That no matter what my current conditions still look the same, I knew something had changed on the inside of me. And even if I had to go to prison, then I would go to prison and I would still walk that out. I had made that commitment.
That's
God.
Right.
Yep.
Whatever happens, Lord, I'm with you.
Amen.
Whatever happens. So if you just joined us, you're listening to Pastor Houston Jared. He's the lead pastor at PG Fellowship out in Buffalo Valley on Highway 70. We're going to talk about PG Fellowship when we come back, including a very interesting fact about PG Fellowship that I think a lot of you will really love to hear. You are listening to Local Matters here on News Talk 94.1. Welcome back to Local Matters here on News Talk 94.1. I'm Michael Detweiler. Today's guest is Pastor Houston Jared of PG Fellowship. So when we went to the break, he was telling us about, you know, being a broken man and changing from the inside. He gave his heart to the Lord, and he met again with Pastor Tim McLaughlin with the Adult in Teen Challenge. So what happened there? Did he finally say, you're ready to go through the program?
Right. So that was 2011. He went to bat for me. But, you know, I'd given my heart to God, but the state of Tennessee still owned my freedom.
They did.
And they were not willing. They wasn't. I'd violated this probation sentence three times.
Yes.
And they were like, no way, no how.
Right.
But strategically, God put some things together with my attorney, Sean Fry, and I can't thank him enough for what he done. Pastor Tim, and we went to court, and I had made my decision that if they don't give me Teen Challenge today, because we was going to court every month, and that's how it works. And I've been in jail for 9 months at this point.
Right.
If they didn't give me Teen Challenge that day, I was going to go ahead and plead guilty and go ahead and get my time started so I can get it finished.
Serve your sentence.
Right.
Sure.
We went to court that day, and my attorney came back, excuse me, in the bullpen, and he said, look, I don't know what happened. He said, but we have a different judge and a different DA, and if you'll sign right here, they're going to let you go to Teen Challenge.
Amen.
And
wow. Was that a surprise?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was.
It was.
I'd like to say that I had this big epiphany.
Right. It's going to happen then.
No,
yeah,
not at all.
Sure.
I was ready to get it started.
Sure.
And I looked at my attorney, and I said, I'll tell you what happened. And I said, God happened.
Amen.
And I went in there and signed up. I went to Teen Challenge, stayed 12 months there, came back.
Wow.
I got involved with the Hope for Life program,
mm-hmm.
which is a non-residential program. That's when I met my wife at the church that I'm now the pastor at. Which there's so much irony in that.
He put so many things back together.
Absolutely.
You'll turn your life over.
Yeah. Yeah. If you'll completely surrender and submit your will over to the care of God, I promise you, he'll blow your mind without a doubt.
He'll make things happen that you can't even dream of.
If you'd have told me I'm a 7-time convicted felon and drug addiction, alcoholism, all the life controlling issues, that I'd be married to a doctor right now who, by the way, just opened up her very own pharmacy
there in
Baxter.
There you go.
So he's got a sense of humor.
He does.
Yeah.
He really does.
He really does. I went from drug dealing to marrying a legal drug dealer.
That's right. She's a dispenser, right?
Yeah. But she's a wonderful person, and she just opened her pharmacy. And God gave us the desires of our heart. We was at Trinity for years. That's where I met you.
Yes.
I was working for Teen Challenge. Fast forward a few years of going in and doing the job that Pastor Tim was doing with the males as the male director, placement director for Teen Challenge. So I was going back in the jails now and getting guys out. To go to Teen Challenge, it was just like me.
So you had that experience of being on that other side, and then now you are sitting across that table talking to guys where you sat.
Absolutely.
That's powerful.
It's amazing. The same jail that I spent years in, they basically handed me the keys and said, go in on Sundays and preach.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And then come in here and interview guys. And if you think they need to go to Teen Challenge, we'll do everything that we can.
So you were coming in through the front door instead of the sally port, right?
Yeah. Wow. And it was kind of weird, still that.
I'm sure you can hear it, right? Yeah. Wow.
But again, I can't say enough about that program of Teen Challenge. Now, we know it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It wasn't a miracle antibiotic that heals our body. Sure. It's Jesus.
Right. And this wasn't an immediate transformation. I think some people get upset or confused or mad because, yes, your buddy gets saved, but then he doesn't change.
Right.
It's a process.
Absolutely.
It's a process.
Absolutely. Yeah, the fact that the things that was on my phone and on my TV and in my house, they didn't change immediately when I gave my life to Jesus.
Right. It took time.
It took time. But, I've learned the more that, and you know this, Michael, the more time we spend with the Lord in the Word, in Bible, in fellowship, then we begin to shape ourselves like that. With me, I'm a new pastor.
Right.
But I spend time with seasoned pastors.
Sure.
And I see people's marriage, and I'd like for my marriage to look like that, so I gravitate towards them.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And so you're growing each and every day.
Absolutely.
And you're being changed each and every day.
Amen.
I think people identify really well with those who have gone through things because then they feel like that this person looks more like them.
Absolutely.
And so this is a question that I have that so many people out there have. What advice would you give to somebody who maybe is struggling with addiction currently?
Mm-hmm.
And what advice? So it's a two-part question. What advice would you give to people who have been hurt by the church? So let's start with the struggling actively now with addiction. What advice would you give?
Number one, the point that I want to make on that is don't give up. There's hope.
Amen.
Absolutely. Reach out to someone. Reach out to Upper Cumberland Teen Challenge. Sure. Reach out to me. I'll give you some information before we get off air today. Reach out to a loved one. There's been people that's going through the same struggles that you're going through. And once you find out that the issue is really not the addiction, but there's underlying issues, then we can get to the solution.
So you're not alone.
Not at all.
Even if you feel alone this moment, you are not alone.
I'll tell you what. I've been at the bottom of the barrel and scraping the rust under the bottom of the barrel. But I found hope, and his name's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that I'm so holy I'm not human,
right.
Michael.
Yes.
What I am saying is this, that there's the one void that I had in my life that I tried to fill with toxic relationships, with chemicals, with alcohol, with work, with money, prestige. I tried to fill that void for so many years with so many things, and it was all temporary. It was all temporary.
But had a temporary high, but then that disappeared,
absolutely.
And you were right back again.
Absolutely.
So say somebody's listening and they have had a bad experience with church.
Right.
All you church people are the same. You're all a bunch of hypocrites, blah, blah, blah. We've heard it. What advice would you give that person that is struggling?
Yeah. Number one, church is a great place for hypocrites.
Yes. A pastor friend of mine who I won't name so he doesn't get a bunch of telephone calls. Said, hypocrites, you can go to church with them, you can go to hell with them.
Amen.
It's your choice.
Amen.
And that's powerful. And if somebody's offended by that, I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who has had a bad taste in their mouth because of a church. This day and time, I firmly believe that the next great awakening is going to be the prodigals.
Yeah, coming home.
I really do. And I don't take nothing away from the old style religion. It was good for that time, and it's still good now. It's the same gospel yesterday, today, and forever. But at the end of the day, if we're going to look down our nose at people because they got a few tattoos or they may not wear a three-piece suit to church.
Right.
And the idea is to get them to church and then let God decide to clean them up.
We are not their Holy Spirit.
Not at all. Not at all. And if you're looking for a church that has it all together,
It's definitely
not PG Fellowship. We're a bunch of struggling people, but we have one thing in common. We lean on the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That is just powerful. As we wrap up this interview, number one, I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Number two, you know, you dealt with a personal tragedy in your brother's murder.
Yeah.
What? How did that affect you? How old were you when this happened? And
so, we're talking 2006, 2007.
Sure. So 15 years ago.
Yeah. So wow. I was like six.
No. Yeah. Right. You were an adult, brother.
Yeah. So we're talking. I was 30 years old, 31 yes. years old. And the thing about it is, you know, and some of the listeners may be just gasping at some of the sure. things that you and I've talked. I can't believe. Oh
right.
my God, bless his heart.
Right.
And, but there's some things worse than addiction and going to prison.
Right.
You know, you can die and go to hell.
That's right.
You know, I introduced my brother to some people at that time that I was running with. I ended up going to prison. He got deeper involved with them.
Mm.
I left, got out of prison, came back to Tennessee again, begged him to come with me, but he chose not to. And I dealt with a lot of guilt and shame
sure.
and regret because of that.
Thinking that you were the cause. Of it.
Yeah, well, definitely has some responsibility in it. And there's some truth in that as well, but, you know, who knows the mind of God?
Right.
I don't question that.
So has the Lord helped you heal from all of that?
Well, once I gave my life to the Lord, there was a lot of underlying issues. Mm-hmm. Addiction was my surface issue.
Right, right.
Guilt, shame, regret, pride,
sure.
you know, lack of self-esteem. Those were all the root issues. That the program of Adult and Teen Challenge helped me deal with, expose, identify, and heal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So give the listeners here, we just got about a minute to
yes.
go, so give the listeners a way to reach out to you if they have some issues, some challenging issues, or
right.
they need more information. They want to talk
yeah,
to you.
Absolutely, and I appreciate that. If anyone's listening that's struggling with alcohol or drugs at this point, or any life-controlling issue, I'll give you my number. But first, I want to give you Adult and Teen Challenge of the Upper Cumberland. It's 1-888-688-0470.
Repeat that number.
It's 1-888-688-0470. You can call that number if you're struggling with any life-controlling issues. Pastor Tim McLaughlin and Ms. Sheridan McLaughlin, they do a great thing out there. I thought I'd be with them for the rest of my life, but God seemed fit for me to go to
yeah.
PG Fellowship. Now, let me share that address
sure.
and phone number with you. We're at 14150 Nashville Highway, Buffalo Valley, Tennessee. It's about 7 miles west on Highway 70 from the Baxter Crossroads. My telephone number is 931-260-1627. If you want to come visit, if you just like to talk about anything, feel free to call me. That's my personal number.
Man, that's awesome. Good stuff, buddy.
Yeah.
I can't thank you enough for being on the show today.
Thank you, Mike.
Absolutely.
And the interesting fact that we was,
yes.
we've been,
yeah, let's hit them with it.
We've been holding
this.
Everybody
that's
the whole
right.
time. Is that this church is the oldest active church in Putnam County. They've been having church in this building since 1815.
That is an amazing
right.
fact.
So
this church opened its doors 46 years before the Civil War was fought.
That puts it in perspective.
I mean, that just does, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
You guys celebrated 200 years
yes.
6 years ago.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
That's just an amazing yeah. fact.
Yeah. And for all the listeners out there, that is an amazing fact when you put it in perspective like that. But we've done a lot of renovations.
Yes.
We've done a lot of renovations in 200 years.
I've been in this church. It will remind you of the old Ryman Auditorium
yeah.
on the inside. It's just beautiful.
Absolutely.
And the acoustics are amazing.
Amen.
And I just appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
Wish you the best. And
yeah.
may the Lord fill the seats.
You know,
PG Fellowship.
And I appreciate you. And I want to give a shout out to all the help that we get there. We have a lot of volunteers from our praise and worship to the ladies that, you know, just take care of all the daily agendas that has to be done there with our
That's
kids
awesome.
Ministry and all that. And I just want to thank everyone who does that. It's not me, I promise
Amen.
You. It's all God and the team he's put together. Thank you.
Amen.
Michael.
Thank you for being on the show, folks. That's it. You're listening to Local Matters here on News Talk 94.1.